Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I've got a lot of content we need to get through. And so I don't want to rush, because usually when I do that, I start getting tongue-tied and so forth. So I don't want to go too slow, because I'll have to string this on for a couple of shows, probably three shows. But anywho, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, as well as the fact that you are listening to the only show that actually exposes the only constitutional process that will get rid of unconstitutional government. I've said this many a times. Even if Trump and the Trump administration gets rid of the Energy Department, the Education Department, Housing and Urban Development, BLM, the Department of Interior, all of the unconstitutional departments, even if he shut them down, the next president would come along and restore every single one of them, and the rabid Democrats would do that as well. So the only way to get rid of unconstitutional government is for the stakeholders of their contract, the states, to stand up and say, where did we give you the authority? We never gave you the authority. You were in violation of the Constitution. And if you insist on continuing, even though we know it may not be your fault directly, if you insist on continuing to violate our contract and overstep the bounds of the limited powers that we've given you, then we will take constitutional measures and actions in recalling everyone necessary so that we can get the federal government back into the framework of our compact. It's pretty simple, folks. That's really what has to happen. We don't have a king. We do not have a parliament. We have a constitutional republic that has delegated very specific roles and responsibilities to the different branches, as well as overall to the general government. If it is not an enumerated power, they have no business messing with it. It's pretty simple. Sorry for the desk pounding. Kind of helps me, you know, I feel better when I do that. Anyway, what we need to do is we need to call for Republic Review. We got to get a state standing up to call for the audit and to call for all the other states to join. Wyoming is getting there. We need more assurance. We need to get South Dakota. We need to get Idaho. We need to get Utah, North Dakota. All of the red states need to start hearing this message. Compliance. Remember, it's all about compliance. And if our public servants can't comply with the Constitution, they have no business being public servants, and they should be banned per the 14th Amendment, Section 3. Pretty simple, folks. Anybody that commits moral perjury, they take an oath, and they violate the Constitution that they take an oath to, they can be banned and removed from public service and never be able to serve again. So, I want you to understand, the good Lord gave us everything we need to take this Constitution back. That's why it is so important that you help get this message out. That's why one of the things I try to thank you on a daily basis for listening to this show, because that is what helps carry this message and getting other people to understand how relevant this is. There is no greater, more relevant show on air anywhere in the world, especially in our republic, that is chanting the message of what it takes to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Now, if you cannot listen to the most relevant show on earth, I'm sorry. It's not me. As a matter of fact, the brilliance didn't even come from me. Jefferson and Madison were so inspired by the divine hand of providence, they understood the way and the process of making everything happen. It's really that simple. So with that, I just I appeal to you to get you to actually start getting involved. But I will grovel a little later. The listen number, if you're going to miss any part of the show and you want to maintain, you know, currency with the relevance of what's going on, the number to dial in so that you can listen, it's just a listen number, 605-562-4209. Now, again, today, tomorrow, and maybe Friday will bleed into whatever time it takes for me to kind of get through some of this stuff. Now, there may be real news out there that, like yesterday or the other day, sorry to marginalize this, but Australia had another a mass shooting. And so I know that's important stuff. But the world is filled with train wrecks. The world is filled with all sorts of problems. Are we going to stand by and continually absorb ourselves in the problems? Or are we going to start focusing on what really we need to be doing? So today what I want to do is I want to highlight some things that have happened in the news and how the whole world, it seems to be dovetailed, organized, and working together. It's like gears just meshing and moving us down this global governance path. American corporations are huge. I'm going to actually get into Skousen's 45 goals that the communists, I'm not going to go through all 45, I've only pulled out some that I believe are really relevant for what we want to focus on at this point in time. So again, today and tomorrow, maybe Friday, we'll be going through some marketing. And next week, I'm going to get into some myopic observations for you, like Baphomet that I talked about, the origins of that, and why those origins came out the way they did and so forth. What we need, and I'm just going to ask you because I've mentioned this before, we need to start focusing on constitutional crusading. We want you to become a crusader for the Constitution. What is a crusader? Somebody who's trying to preserve something. Just like the Crusades of the, 10th century, 11th, and so forth. The 9th century, those crusades, I think they span like 400 or 500 years of going back and forth into the promised land, into the Holy Land, and trying to preserve it from Islam. And so we need that same form of zeal here in America if we are going to preserve our Constitution and Republic. And everything under the sun is attacking it, from communism, from bad public servants, Islam, illegal aliens. We're going to get into all of that. And I'm going to try to cover that and tie everything together today. It's within the next couple of days, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff to go through. I do have a scheduled interview with Dr. Vile, so we'll probably get that into the queue next week. So we'll be able to have a very interesting conversation with a good doctor on what he understands and what he knows regarding corporations, regarding the Civil War and the failure to follow the constitutional requirement of using the militia. And so because they didn't use the militia for internal defenses and they created a standing army, they had no constitutional authority to call for, because that was all supposed to be external. They had no constitutional authority to call for martial law. And there's nothing that I know of in the Constitution other than how it was defined in the ratification debates that really lays that out. And so anyway, we're moving forward, and guess who's groveling now? Yes, yours truly. We need your help. It's not always about money, but if you drink coffee, make the money that you spend on products actually count. Why would you continually spend money? We're going to bring up some money, corporations that you may be spending money on that you may want to just hold off. May want to hold off until we're really done with all of this. I know it's really hard for people not to get their fix of entertainment. It's really hard for them to not get something, but there are viable options. There are other alternatives so that we don't have to continually fund those who are, because we're just buying the weapons for others to actually use against us. Why would you do that? When you buy Chinese crap, you're paying for their military efforts, their intelligence efforts, their strategy in overcoming us and knocking us off. That's exactly what China's trying to do. They've been very open about that. And it just boggles my mind that we've been subsidizing them for decades, all the way back to Nixon, because he was a globalist. And Reagan didn't know better either. And when you looked, during Reagan's eras, you looked at China, I mean, their military technology, their most advanced centers were probably still dirt floors working in, you know, caves. And I don't say that despairingly, because North Korea, a lot of these very mountainous terrains, they used caves for secure locations. So anyway, I wasn't trying to say that they were Neanderthal or troglodytes or anything like that. The whole point is that, you know, they were so far behind Russia and us, they weren't even a blip on the radar until good old Clinton gave away all of our technical secrets. And that link to the congressional record of the timeline where Bill Clinton committed treason is available on my Red State Radio podcast pages. See, there I go, get tongue-tied, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We will be right back so I can grovel some more, and we'll be diving in. God bless, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So as I was just saying, why would you spend money in supporting those efforts that are trying to take away your liberty and destroy our Republican Constitution? But if you drink coffee, you can actually buy coffee that is directly supporting the effort for the crusades of the Constitution. Become a constitutional crusader just by drinking coffee. Yes, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org website, I have the link that will take you to Red State Coffee. Red State Coffee is a sponsor that's actually supporting us, and we would ask that as you buy their coffee, they will support us. So please go buy some Red State coffee, drink coffee, and quit buying. And as a matter of fact, Red State coffee may look like may look like a low cost or a low budget type of coffee. It is not. It is a very premier coffee, and it competes and is considered actually in tests and so forth one of the best by its original name. And so it's a very expensive premium coffee. So I want you to try this. Give us a call. 425-270-5416, and in doing so, you will be able to find out how good that is and tell us how good that is, how good that coffee is, and we will actually be able to play your little reviews or, you know, your insights regarding Red State Coffee. We want to start cutting your commercials in helping us support this cause. The money that we will get from the proceeds of this will actually go to help cover the travel costs and some of the other things that we need to do, because money doesn't grow on trees. We have a crowdfunding out there on GoFundMe if you want to support that. We've already put up the one travel cost. I still got to go back and put the last travel cost up. But bottom line, that's the money we're already in the hole on. And you go, well, how can you be in the hole? Well, either we go into debt or we're spending money from another source that we just don't have that money from. We don't have any revenues. So we'd be glad to get your support. We do need financial support to get this done. I'm not taking a salary. Everything I am doing is coming out of whatever available funds I personally have. So that's why we do need your help. We do need your support. And I hate to make any focus on money, because it's really not about money. We would be happy to start working with actual individuals that could start doing a lot of this work in your dark red state. So if you have time, you have a computer, you're kind of literate on these resources, then let us know, and you can use your phone software and what have you to actually help us get this going through. I was going to talk about a listener's letter, but I will wait until we get into the Baphomet and some of these other things. So hold off on that, and we'll dive into that later. If you've got constitution plans, let us know. I've already floated out the idea. Go down to your Dodge dealership or to an American dealership and say, hey, why don't you promote the Constitution on Constitution Week? We can show you where you can go get this thing, you know, a free Constitution and Declaration of Independence for a very dirt cheap price. And that way you can give it out for Constitution Week. And there's this guy his name's G.R. Mobley. He'll let people know, hey, at this dealership, they're giving away the Constitution. And you can also let other places know as a public service announcement that they're giving away. Radio stations do public service announcements all the time, and they do it for free. It doesn't cost money. So you can get your own program and so forth going and actually have a successful drive in handing out constitutions to people for the dealerships or whatever you want to do. Get that going. Help us make the Constitution more relevant and bring forth more awareness to it. And there's nothing better than putting a constitution in everybody's hands. As I always say, there is no sign. And even if there was, the federal government of getting rid of all of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, it would not be sufficient, because the next tyrant can come along and restore those. That's why we have to do this. There's nothing else to do. We have to do this. And so you're 2 days away from Red Pill Expo in Hartford, Connecticut. If you have not signed up for the streaming, make sure you do. I want you to, as I've been saying for the past week and a half, I want you to watch this. I want you to watch what everybody's talking about. Everybody has some supposed solution for the myopic problem that they have. Every problem that they are going to be presenting at Red Pill Expo, keep this in mind, every problem will have something to do with unconstitutional government, where Republic Review would solve every single one. Alex Newman's going to be talking about the school and education. Boom. Republic Review takes care of that. Anybody that's talking about vaxes, health freedom or anything, Republic Review takes care of that. Anybody talking about the Fed, the Republic Review takes care of that. So all of these people that are going to be speaking, they may have their own baked-in solution. Those won't work. The only solution is for the states to step up and actually inject their authority over their constitution and say, we never gave you this power. That's why I want to drive this home until, you know, you start, I'll use the term regurgitating. You start parroting the exact same thing. It just echoes from you. One of the things I wanted to talk about is a conservative on Facebook posted, and this is a conservative legislator, by the way, posted this very interesting comment, and it was, and actually it's an excerpt from the United States Supreme Court, and the citation goes, no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or matters of opinion. And I'm here to tell you that this Supreme Court ruling is wrong, because religion is one of those things that is handled a little differently per the Constitution. Now, politics, that's an ambiguous thing. Nationalism, that's an ambiguous thing. Matters of opinion, very ambiguous. But religion is very specific. And this came from the United States Supreme Court, West Virginia's Board of Education versus Barnett. 319 U.S. 624-642, 1943, and cited recently in the Janus Association and Masterpiece Cake Shop Freedom of Religion Discussions. Now, I'm here to tell you that the federal government and the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction over religion. And let me explain this. The Bill of Rights was a limitation that the federal government, as a matter of fact, you know, I've got to do this because I've got to actually pull up the First Amendment. And the First Amendment clearly states that, not the first article, the First Amendment. And the First Amendment regarding freedom of speech and so forth, it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, so let me rephrase the very beginning of this. Instead of saying Congress, because guess what? The bench or the Supreme Court or the judiciary branch is up to some shenanigans and they like to start legislating from the bench. And oh, the president does it as well with EOs. So I'm just going to change that first word from Congress to the federal government. The federal government shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press and the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, the very important part was the very first part when it comes to religion, which means that the federal government can't do anything. They can't make a law about it. They can't say that somebody can do this and somebody can't do this. They are constrained from even talking about religion. They can't make a law about it. And so in this case, the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has since Hugo Black, and if you remember, I talked to Mark Erbach. I need to get him back on. But Mark Erbach did a lot of extensive research on how the Supreme Court overstepped its bounds in starting to legislate and enforcing a constraint on religion. In other words, creating laws and regulations that you can't do these things, state. Now, I want to step back a little bit further, because what's really important is that you understand that the 14th Amendment was where the portions of the Bill of Rights were applied to the states. And so what really needs to be covered here is what parts of the Bill of Rights was applied. And anybody that has listened to this show for any length of time knows very clearly what part of the 14th Amendment applies to the states. And I will tell you the secret. We're going to jump right to it because it is this. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Now, I see that I'm literally down to less than 10 seconds. So we're going to go into a promo. And then when we come back, I'm going to dive into this portion of the 14th Amendment and why this is critical and how this does not apply. But we will be right back after these promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so some of you may have forgotten, and I'm not trying to buy time here or anything else. I just want to reread this because this goes in tandem with the Bill of Rights. No state shall make any... shall make or enforce any laws which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. So the federal government was constrained in keeping certain privileges and immunities in the Bill of Rights from being passed. And to be very clear, what they were constrained, and this is the First Amendment, so only these parts of the First Amendment apply to the states. The federal government and the states shall make no law respecting the free exercise of religion or abridging the freedom of speech and so forth. Now, why did I skip over the establishment of religion? Because the establishment of religion does not restrict an individual's privilege of being able to engage, worship, and or express their own religious beliefs. So in other words, and to support this completely, in the beginning of this Constitutional Republic, all 13 states had state-sponsored
churches. Virginia was the Anglican church, and we all know Massachusetts and other parts of New England were the Puritan churches. Why were they able to maintain state-sponsored churches at the beginning of the Constitution? Surely that was against the Constitution. No, it wasn't. And even when the 14th Amendment came along, there were still states that had state-sponsored religions. Did the federal government go after them and say, you have to shut those down now because we just passed this, the 14th Amendment, and it says you can't do this? No. They were very specific. The whole point of the 14th Amendment was to ensure the individual privileges and immunities were being granted to the freemen as the result of the Civil War. It has nothing to do with the press, which is an organization, and or the establishment of a religion, which would be an organization as well. In other words, there's nothing in the 14th Amendment that says no state shall pass or enforce any laws that govern organizational and individual privileges and immunities of the United States citizens and organizations. It doesn't include organizations. It's only for the individuals. That's why I've been telling you that states can actually set standards for journalism and regulate the press. The only place the press can be completely free of any type of regulations and laws would be in Washington, D.C. And they're trying to actually abolish that because they're actually trying to go down this path of making Washington, D.C. a state. Are you kidding me? This is a progressive move, and they would have to amend the Constitution, and they're not going to. What they're going to do is they're going to violate the Constitution so that they can create a 50th state to give them an extra advantage. Now, in context to this post on Facebook, this individual was in support of one of the state movements in trying to create a state, trying to create a red state from a blue state. And there was a lot of scuttlebutt, and scuttlebutt is a Navy Marine Corps term of rumor and, just propaganda, just nothing with valid or authenticated veracity or any type of substantial evidence that this is true. There was just scuttlebutt that the intent of this particular state breakoff was going to create a theology. Now, I know the people, and I know the people in the different state movements, because we're huge proponents in trying to get every state that has a large population center. Listen, folks, if you live in one of these states, Tennessee is one of them, Indiana is another one, Illinois is another one, even Utah would be another one. If you live in a state that is being, let's say that the blueness of a high population center is trying to drag down the rest of the state, save yourself now and start petitioning to split the state. Isolate that blue bastion and say, there you go, that's it, you stay there. Give them plenty of room to grow and give them plenty of rope to hang themselves, because they will go broke instilling the entitlement state. It'll force them to either become conservative, fiscally conservative, or they're going to go bankrupt. And there'll be a lot of states that'll end up going bankrupt, like Chicago, the state of Chicago, the state of Los Angeles. If you look at California, should be broken into several little states. And by doing that, it would take its monopoly. And, you don't have to necessarily take Los Angeles south, because that would just destroy all of those good red counties like Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, and so forth. And so what you want to do is you just want to kind of go from, and I like the idea of taking from Los Angeles all the way up to San Francisco, go into Sacramento, just cut all of that off, make that one nice coastal state. There you go. You guys have everything else, and then make three states out of the rest of the red. And by doing so, it gives the Senate even a greater and greater and greater advantage. The left understand that by making D.C. a state, it becomes a blue state. I mean, how many conservatives are in Washington, D.C.? None. So anyway, back to this dialogue here. The individual has no intent, and the people behind all of these different movements, there is no intent whatsoever that there is a theocracy behind this. They want to create a state religion so that everybody must bow at their altar. That's not what is going to happen. But I'm here to tell you that states can do that. And I'm here to tell you that states need to do that. If states want to get back into becoming a part of the greatest republic ever, we need to restore those principles that made this republic great. Now, I'm just telling you that states can create a state-sponsored religion, but the best way to do it is, instead of creating a state-sponsored religion, states should actually open up to religious services and or community services. It doesn't matter, but create your own 501c3 if you want to become a keeper of education in your city. Let the Catholic Church, let the Baptists, let all the different churches come to the table and say, we'll do this. And you turn over the public schools to the different churches. And let everybody compete to find out who's offering the best. If you allow parents to put their kids into any school that they want, they would be going to the best schools. It creates a huge competition. It takes away the monopoly of government and creates an awesome level of competition. This is one of the big parts that's going to be in my book of how to revamp American education. And instead of giving taxpayers, because now, you know, they're getting these edifices that have been paid by tax dollars, but they're providing the public a service. And instead of, you know, having all of these teacher unions and everything else, that all gets demolished. All of these parasitical organizations that are a part of this huge bureaucracy called this machine, or this indoctrination machine we call our education system, literally becomes revamped into private religious institutions that will have, and the state can dictate, you know, the fundamental curriculum, as well as, you know, obviously you'll give the church a little bit of opportunity and latitude to provide, whether it be diverse or even myopic, you know, you'll have to take one course in Catholicism or what, a catechism, whatever. That doesn't kill the kids. And as a matter of fact, it puts the kids right back into a good influence of a moral code. Why do we have so many school shootings? Because of the education system has debased our society and made everybody godless, immoral, and chasing the next addictive high, whether that be sex, whether that be drugs, whether that be games, whatever trips your trigger, the school system is there to tell you, go enjoy life. And that's how they're debasing our education, or I should say our future, if we take this back. And so the reason I'm presenting this information is because if anybody tells you that a state can't have a church, or the state can't be doing business and relegating responsibilities to churches, they're lying to you. Because there's nothing in the Constitution other than overreach by the Supreme Court, because the evidence supports the concept of having state-sponsored churches well after the 14th Amendment. And as a matter of fact, when you really start, the last colony, or the last original 13 states, I think it got rid of its state-sponsored religion in 1877. That was several years after the 14th Amendment, 11 years. And there were some other states that weren't a part of the 13 that still had state-sponsored religions. You do the research, you'll be surprised what truth will come out when you actually look for the truth. We will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So I'm not sure how many people had their little epiphany clouds pop up over their head, but when you start understanding that the state can actually be doing business and can actually engage in religions in taking care of what we refer to as compassionate services. Education is a compassionate service that the religions used to do in America for, well, until about the mid-1800s. That's when Horace Mann, and taking the education from the religious organizations and moving it towards the public sector, where government and trying to remove that. It's not that they removed the Bible right away, but this was the slow progression towards secularism in America. You think that was a good idea? Look at all the immorality, the mass shootings and everything else that we've had. That is the byproduct of removing God from our classrooms, because children are not learning morality, period. The evidence, when you really start looking at it, it all started getting out of hand when social engineering went amok in the late 50s, mid-50s to the 60s. Remember, sex education was injected into the education system to help kids avoid teenage pregnancies. Today, it's encouraging kids to become homosexual and morph themselves into gender dysphoria to wherever they land up on the roulette wheel. You think that's good for America? Do you think that's good for society? If you do, you need to start doing research on natural law. Societies need to have discipline and guides to ensure that it doesn't allow itself to embellish itself into debasement, which will destroy it. We should be thinking of, understanding sciences to a greater level and mathematics to greater levels and those enlightenments that actually help society achieve higher levels of science and capabilities, technologies, and so forth. The reason America is in this position is because we had those disciplines. We had those rules, those laws, obscenity laws. We had obscenity laws for 200 years. practically. And they started falling away as we debased our society. And then everybody says, oh, well, that's a separation of church and states. Church and, or states can't make laws regarding those types of things. It's all about freedom. No, it wasn't. It was not. It was about discipline and allowing the churches to play a key role in keeping. And Alexis de Tocqueville was the one that nailed this. He said that the churches were what was making America great. They didn't have to have government create all these moral laws because people were morally good because they were going to church and they had strong church convictions and faith convictions and so forth. People behaved in America. But see what happens when you let the devil out of the bottle? I was going to say genie, but it's really the devil, right? It's not some magical myth. So what happens is we actually start allowing ourselves to debase. So that epiphany cloud that may have popped up over your head, if you start understanding compassionate services, that would be healthcare, right? Maybe even dental care. Maybe even other types of welfare, food assistance, job placements, because that's what churches used to do. That's right. Why would we not want to take advantage of the best organization capable of providing compassionate services? Who would know better than the people that are right there working with them in their community, right? Whether that be your, you know, your way leader, whatever that is, your minister, priest, whatever. That way leader already knows those people going to church. They would know whether they would need temporal welfare, whether they're gaming the system. And they would hold them accountable and say, really, you want to take advantage of these good people? Just so that you don't have to work? What? What's wrong with you? And we bring shame back to society. There's nothing wrong with shame. It is the consequences of bad behavior, right? You do something wrong, don't you feel shameful? You insult somebody, you hurt somebody's feelings? Aren't you sorry and shameful? You should be. Anyway, this was supposed to be just a quick highlight. And obviously, it took me a little bit more to get into, you know, get all of this stuff out. So I'm sorry for venting so much on this, but this is really critical stuff. These are fundamentals of our society that have been completely lost because the government has put a stranglehold on states unconstitutionally, specifically the Supreme Court, by creating this kind of crap. They cannot stop schools and kids from praying. Just because some kid gets offended, that kid has a right to be offended. This is America. You can be offended or you cannot be offended. That's your choice. But bottom line, the schools have the responsibility of ensuring some type of moral compass and code. And the framers were pretty clear that they felt that the Bible was a part of that. That's why the Bible was injected, not as a form of regulating laws and religious expression, but as a form of educating morals. And here the Supreme Court says, this, whoever wrote this opinion, no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in religion. Actually, the states and state governments and local governments can, you repugnant pig, whoever wrote that opinion. Now, it's true, on ambiguous stuff, it's hard to do that and whether they can do that. But the fact that they injected that term religion was very specific because you got to look at the case, because this case, I believe, had something to do with pledges and or prayers or what have you, where these two Seventh-day Adventists in a school didn't want to do the pledge. And that was the beginning of this. And they injected religion into this context. And now everybody says, well, it's a separation of churches. You've got religion right there. No, I'm sorry. They're violating the Constitution by actually regulating or creating a law or a credo. Remember, the federal government cannot create or enforce any laws regarding religion and the establishment thereof or the expression thereof. That is left to the enjoyment of the states. And with the 14th Amendment, it only kept the states from going after individual expressions. And so that's why this is really important, because these folks that have been fighting these bakeries of homosexuality and so forth, they have the Constitution on their side. The problem is that the Supreme Court and all the lawyers have been indoctrinated into this living document and the precedents, which doesn't exist in the Constitution, that these lawyers and judges can make these opinions and create precedents to move our laws into a direction that is all unconstitutional. Because, oh, by the way, the Constitution doesn't even allow the court's opinions and decisions to move the Constitution. Only the states have the authority to move the Constitution per Article 5, per the ratification debates, as well as per the 7th article of the Constitution, which identifies who the stakeholders of the Constitution are. So with that, let me kind of give you a highlight of what we're going to be covering tomorrow. Yesterday, I kind of dropped off on this Western lands and federal controls being very strict, and the strictest in the West, and how it's fire season and what the heck's going on. And so why is it that we, you know, have these problems? I wanted to get into that, but what really I exposed was this whole concept of aerial aerosol spraying. And so I will probably try to get into that, but there's a lot of other news that I want to cover that is really critical for me to cover. And so I probably will put this off for a Friday or later type of topic to cover, because I think you need to understand what Tar Fox was with NASA and the University of Washington, and why in the 90s they were putting metal particulates in aerosols in the air for a decade, studying prevailing winds and the effects of these aerosols to weather and so forth. Okay. They've been mucking around with the weather. They've been mucking around with our environment for years, and they've never told you about it. Isn't that interesting? And so this isn't some aluminum hat, you know, baked concept. You know, people that say, oh, chemtrails, that's just really out there. I'm going to give you an article that came from CBS News that actually acknowledges the fact that they're using chemtrails to try to manipulate the weather because of global warming. They're using it now as a justification. Anyway, what I'm going to get into is some of the mainstream media news, some of the things that are occurring tomorrow, so that we'll be kind of battening down the hatches, focusing on those things. It is important, my friends, that we understand the Constitution. If we are using the Constitution as our weapon and as our defense, we will win every battle, especially the battle against the ideologies that are trying to destroy this nation and our Constitution. With that, my friends, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions donations page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty